Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 90.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be episode 90. Wow, we got 10 more to 100. In this episode, I'm going to be starting a brand new series of transcription analysis. And so the first person we're going to do is Benny Green. And I think he's a really good person to start with because his lines and solos are very systematic, and you'll hear that a lot in his playing. Everything's very clean, right? Clean, structured, systematic, organized. That's everything that I'm about, that Jazz Piano School is built on, and the education that I want to provide to all of you to understand how to learn jazz piano. So that's going to be really fun. I'm really interested in that. Now, the first, we're just doing the first, 16 bars here. Yes, 16 bars. And you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast90 to download those 16 bars, the transcription to get that, and look on as I do the analysis with you. And another thing we're going to do here is that I'm going to put in the show notes. You know, we've been editing the podcast kind of back and forth for YouTube and audio if you're listening on iTunes in the car. Right, but I'm just going to give the, if you guys are interested in seeing the video, obviously you can go to jazzpianoschool.com, go to the resources, and find the video lesson on the page there. And we're going to have one edit now, and so I'll just put in the show notes below. If you want to skip the intro that I'm doing here, then you can just move on to the certain timeline. We're going to put the timeline in the point, you know, jump to 5 minutes, and that's where I'm going to start the lesson. But I do a little of talking, you know, just kind of philosophies in the beginning. So I'm going to continue to do that in the podcast. A lot of the audio listeners enjoy that as well. But this way, you won't have to do it in two places, right? So if you listen to the video, but you want to go check out the podcast, you won't have to, you can still watch the video and listen to me talk and then dive right into the lesson and vice versa, you know? So it's going to work both ways. I think this is going to be a little bit easier of system for people. So if you want to skip my ramble at the beginning, just go down to the minute marker point in the video, and that's actually where I'll start to jump in. So the first thing that kind of came to mind, I've been really thinking about Jazz Piano School and just my philosophies, what I'm about, what I, my goal is, right? My vision for Jazz Piano School. And you know, ultimately, I want to create a new format and system for learning jazz piano. And I really appreciate, I try and strive to provide organized, structured jazz piano because that's what I lacked in my career, right? That's, I had all those frustrations learning and, you know, learning jazz piano through my teachers. I never really knew what to practice again. So all the frustrations and doubt that I went through, my goal is to provide you with those solutions so you don't have to feel that way, because it was really crappy. You know, it was a really crappy feeling to feel that way. And I did for, you know, so many years, like almost 10 to 15 years. I mean, it's rough. It's just a rough process, right, to go through. And that's why so many people quit. And it's such a great music. I thought about quitting. Like, man, if you guys even knew how many walls I would, you know, just came up against and thought about quitting. I quit. I actually did quit multiple times. You know, you're not alone. Okay. I just want to say that out there. And I want to make that vehicle to get to a certain point where you feel confident, happy, because ultimately the main goal is for you to feel self-satisfied, right? This music creates a happiness internally from within ourselves, that we can express ourselves through this music and feel good about it and enjoy it. And then it also spreads, you know, just happiness throughout the world of the people listening to you. I mean, every one of the podcast listeners and people learning this great music, maybe watching the video as well, are, you know, providing this music to other people that are getting such happiness and joy out of it, no matter who's listening, no matter what skill level you're at. It could be for an audience, it could be for a family member, it could be for your son, it could be for your grandfather, whoever you are, you know, whatever you're doing, it's spreading the love and happiness and joy through this great music, which is really, really important. So all of you are taking a part in that. And so to have people quit or give up because of the process, that's just, it's so disappointing. It literally gives me pain. It like hurts me to see my students or hear about students giving up, right, on this process because they don't believe they can do it. And I know personally that you can, right? When I see someone give up because they say, oh, I couldn't do it, it's not you, right? It's not you. It's not that you're not talented enough, you're not skilled enough. And that's really what I want JPS to serve as, is it's a vehicle to instill belief that it's not you, it's the jazz piano process. It's really the jazz process in general. And my philosophies on it is that it's a smorgasbord of just, you know, old school ways that people teach. And again, I get a lot of criticism for this because, you know, I'm a younger person, you know, stating my opinions. And I believe that people should help more. I mean, teachers should help more. And again, I don't know what it is. I think it's that people are nervous about taking your job. You know, some of the pianists, they don't want to share their secrets, you know, whatever it is in your town, or, you know, they want you to go through the same, they want you to suffer the same amount of suffering that they did. You know, that's definitely a big thing. It's like people think in order to cut your teeth or get to a certain level, you need to suffer just like they did because that's how their teacher showed them. But that is such a load of rubbish. I mean, man, that's BS. Like, I can't even get over that. It's like, I want to help people get there and experience happiness through the process. That's what it's about. So anyway, that's what Jazz Piano School really is about, providing so much structure. I just try and simplify the process as much as possible that so you can tackle each step, and it's an organized curriculum. You know, it's a journey that you can follow and not feel like you're struggling, guessing, or just venturing out into the unknown. Now, is parts of jazz that? Absolutely. When you get to a certain point, you're finding your own voice. But that only comes at a top echelon level of player. Now, we're talking about people, you know, very, very skilled people that have lots of things down. You know, you got all your chords down, you got all your voicings down, you're comping, you're playing, you're gigging, you sound phenomenal. You know, it's at that level where you start to be like, you start to question and reflect, you know, what is my sound, right? What am I going for? What am I really trying to express here? And that can be through your music, it can be through your writing, you know, your composing, the types of gigs you take, you know, whether you're leading a band or you're not leading a band, whether you're playing solo. But that rarely, I mean, that's for, I would say, you know, just people who are right below almost, you know, that you're playing concert halls, like big gigs, maybe the Vanguard, stuff like that. People, you know, Brad Meldow, I'm at his level, I know those guys have ascended over that, but they reached those points, Keith Jarrett, all these guys in their career, these monsters where they're reflecting on that. And again, I'd say probably 10% of all jazz pianists will get to that point. So the other 90% can be guided through the jazz piano learning process, you know, without having to do that exploration. It's about learning. It's about helping you understand why you're playing these voicings, how to voice things, how to give you tools that you can use to get better and feel happy and express yourself through the music. So that was quite a rant. I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of different things. You know, I'm really big into obviously making Jazz Piano School the best it can possibly be, and I really do want this to be a world leader in providing jazz piano education in a different way. And again, I'm always tweaking things in the business, trying to find ways that I can deliver my message in a better way to kind of connect with people, right, who have gone down the same path or who are going down the same path that I went through those struggles. So this is kind of what's been on my mind. I am thinking about doing some rebranding, not rebranding necessarily, but tweaking the message, right? I really want everyone who kind of hears my message, hears the message of Jazz Piano School, to understand what we're about. And it's not just about becoming another learn how to play jazz piano website. That's not what I want. I mean, there's tons of those websites out there. You can search jazz piano online lessons, you know, and find a ton of those. And that's not really what I want for Jazz Piano School. I want JPS to ascend over that and really introduce a new breed of education and learning for jazz piano so that even young kids, right, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds are getting this great education that is really helping them to grow quickly, right, without having to feel that insecurity, the embarrassment, right, the doubts, the struggles. And I, man, when I say those things, I just think back to when I was learning, and it literally creates pain in my body, right? It creates pain in my body to kind of think about that stuff. And I know a lot of the listeners out there, it does the same thing for whatever reason, right? Because you can't get to a certain point. You've been struggling. It's like it's a grind, right? You're grinding and grinding and grinding. And to get to a certain level or get to a place where you feel satisfied, and it's been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, right? You've invested all this money. You've been buying books, you know, going through teachers. And it's just like eventually at one point you're just like, man, like this is never, you know, I've been there. You feel like this is never going to work. Like I'm never going to be able to play the way I want to be able to play. And that's a sad thing. I never want to see that happen. That's why basically I've dedicated my life to Jazz Piano School and helping you guys. So anyway, with that being said, that was a long, long intro, but let's let's dive right into this episode. So again, this episode is going to be on the analysis of this first, this Benny Green solo here. And this is going to be Benny Green's solo from Celia, okay? And this is off the album That's Right, Celia. And so this, we're just going to do the first 16 bars here. And again, I'm going to play the solo right now, and then I'm going to break it down and talk about it so you understand the components that are happening. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play it for you. All right, so that was the solo. Now, let's go back to the break, because the break is a really fun thing. Now, it's in the key of B flat, right? So now his break starts on beat three. So the first thing he's doing, we have this little, approach line, right? So he goes one, two, three, and four, and one, okay? Now, basically, in this break, it's all just B flat. So there's no really chords here. So what is he actually doing in his break? And this will kind of help answer a lot of questions about breaks. You can play an all a break with just B flat, right? You know, something like around B flat. What Benny's doing here is basically essentially approaching the third of a C minor 7. So he's essentially just adding in a 2-5. So you have a full measure of B flat, and then he has this approach note. So the third, right, that E flat is the third of C. So basically, he just adds in a line that goes over a 2-5 that connects back to the 1, right, which is the beginning of the changes to Celia. So you can do that. That's a very helpful tip in a break. If you have a break that's just one chord, feel free to add lines over a 2-5, right, or a 1-6-2-5 to bring you back to the 1. You don't always just have to solo on B flat, right? You can add B flat, C minor, F7, B flat, and make your line over top of that, or B flat, G, C, F. Your line can move through those changes. That's way it's more interesting, right? So again, he has, now his approach is this, right? Love this approach for all thirds of any chords. Right? So what we're doing here, if we take the root, C, right? We're essentially starting on the flat 2. We're leading up down to the half step below, chord scale above, half step above, and then down to the third, or the, you know, the target note there. So this is a great approach I'd recommend learning in all keys. Take this approach and learn it to the minor thirds of all keys, right? So here's C, right? Then you go to F, right? And then B flat, and then so on and so forth. So When you know these little tools, you can start to construct your solos instead of copying, right? And this way, it's going to learn to more freedom within your improv. So, from here, simply walking up to the fifth, right? Just steps along the mode, right? Third, fourth, fifth, seventh. Now he hits the 13 or the third. Basically, he adds in a more of a B flat third note, going back to the root of the F, and then he lands right on B flat. So it's a very kind of concise and well-structured line. Boom. You know, it's amazing because it's just like, there it is, confident, everything fits perfectly, everything's landing, you know, synchronized, and then he continues on. So that's a really nice break there. Now, we have 1-6-2-5 in the first two measures. Now that line, you hear it a lot. What is that? For a lot of you guys who don't know this, your bebop scale is a very important thing that has kind of stemmed out of bebop. And your bebop scales are essentially adding your passing tone between the root and the seven of your dominant chords. Okay, so my bebop scale for F7 is going to be... So on your Mixolydian mode, we're taking the seven and the one and adding a passing tone with a half step. So what Benny does, and a lot of the bebop players, Charlie Parker, some of these older guys, Dizzy too, they would start their bebop scales, essentially, they didn't have too many minor chords actually, it was more just dominant chords moving into major chords, major six chords, but since bebop has stayed and the kind of language has stayed, now we have two fives, but they're essentially thinking about the dominant bebop scale starting on the minor chord. So we have C minor for two beats, then F7 for two beats going to D minor, right? But what Benny is doing is essentially thinking more about the F bebop scale for starting on beat one. So he starts on the third of the bebop scale. He goes down to the E flat, the seven, jumps back up. So he jumps back up to the nine and then just continues down the scale. It's a very common kind of line per se, right? That uses the bebop scale. And then, since we're going to the three, he lands on the third of the D minor. So it sounds like this. Very nice way to kind of finish the line that he ends on that third. And again, he also lands on the downbeat of one, which kind of says it's a motif to the break that he just played, right? So he played the break, one, two. Right, so he has another downbeat. So it's like, boom, he has two sentences that he says, right? And he lands on that downbeat. That really creates a connection between both lines. Listen again, okay? One, two. Then he does it a third time. He lands on that downbeat. And then he does it a fourth time, right? So all of these are little sentences or motifs that he constructs, patterns, right? Patterns that create interest in his solo. So he's not just playing a whole string of eighth notes, right? He has these little chunks or motifs that we like to call them that are rhythmic phrases that are similar, right? Landing on that downbeat of one to finish up his line. Now the third line, right? So all he's doing here is, again, I would kind of view this more as, you can view this as approaching more of an A flat, right? So he's moving up to the five of A flat. I kind of like that. This is personally, I like to think about it more of E flat, because he only gets up to the A flat. He's basically just walking up his E flat minor mode, right? So he has a half step approach to the one. When he hits this B flat, the five of E flat or the nine of A flat, right? Jumps down to the seven and just moves down the mode and then lands on the one again of D. So again, there's nothing magical happening here, guys. It's all just very concise usage of modes and movements. Excuse me, with a couple of jumps, right? Now, could he have just gone back down? He could have done that, right? He could have just gone back down the mode with a little approach to the third, but he chose to make a skip, which is completely fine as well. But again, the main thing that he does is target your chord tones for the ends of your phrases to move into your next chord change. So he lands on the one, Now, we have an interesting little line here starting on the G7. He starts on a flat 9. So he approaches the root, okay, 3 and 4. So he kind of hits the root on beat 4. Now, what's going on there? So essentially, there is a 2-5 written in the chart. But what if you notice the roots of this line, we have... So if I play those accents... Right? So essentially what Benny does is kind of throw in a line that's more of a 3-6-2-5 within one measure, right? D, tritone, 2, tritone, 1. Instead of going, right, so D minor, D flat, tritone, C minor, B tritone, B flat. And what Benny does is just place those roots in his line. Now the surrounding principles... He just has these little approach steps, right? So 1 and 2, that's the tritone. He approaches the next 2 with the half step below. 2, there's our tritone for the 5, and then another half step to the 1, okay? In that first approach over here, starting on the flat 9, again, he could have led down to the 3rd on the C minor. He could have gone... That's the same thing as the break. I mean, I just created that with that movement. So the goal here in this transcription is to analyze these movements, right? That's a really nice movement from the flat 9 surrounding the root over a dominant chord. 3 and 4 and 1. 3 and 4 and 1. So you can use these tiny movements in so many different ways, right? You want to think about these as being Lego blocks, not that you're copying the lines, right? Essentially, when you're copying and you're learning transcriptions and you're simply copying, you'll learn how to play the solos, and that will come out, obviously, in your playing. But to you, right, internally, you'll feel like, oh, that was the line I learned in the Benny Green solo. We don't want that, and that's not going to help you grow to your full potential. You want to... break apart these Legos, right, and use them as building blocks to put together your solo, and that creates true freedom within your improv, and that will allow you to break through the plateaus and ascend to the level you're trying to reach, okay? So that's a nice little line, approach that you should learn. He goes down to the 9 of the C minor, but the line he's creating is, right? If you were to change up the chords or reharm it, you could go D, D flat, C, B, B flat. Okay, so that's a really nice thing there. Now, you obviously saw there's some comping chords here. I won't really talk about that. But now we're back into another 1-6-2-5-3-6, and then we got some different changes there. So we have B flat, G minor, C minor, F, D, G, E flat, A flat. Okay. So what he does here, that's the next line. So what could he be thinking here, right? So now, since the chords are moving by so fast, a lot of the times what Benny likes to do, and it's a really great thing to do, and you're going to see this later in the solo, is he plays the changes. He starts to solo over the changes of the next chord. Or the next measure, which is such a brilliant thing to do, because it to the ear, it transitions you into the next change. So instead of thinking B flat here, I believe that he's thinking just G minor. So he, even though you're starting with a B flat chord, he approaches the root, 3rd, 5th, 1. He's just outlining a G minor chord here, right? Then he approaches the root. You could think about it as the root of the 5 chord, right? Or the 11 of the C minor 7, right? Or he could be thinking more B flat here. So a lot of the times you'll find that there's many different ways to, think about it in your mind and to really kind of, he could have been thinking about multiple different things here. So especially for the first one, I believe he was thinking G minor. I think it was just more B flat there. That's just all B flat. right? That sounds a lot like just more of a B flat kind of blues, you know, major blues-ish scale, right? That he was thinking once he lands on that fifth. So I think that's more or less what he's thinking was B flattish, right? So he thought he started with the G minor. And that's all B flat. And then he has, that's just a nice third line, okay? On the E flat minor to the A flat, he has a nice approach, a chromatic approach starting from the 11, right, down to the third. Again, another Lego building block I'd recommend you add into your repertoire. You can use that third approach to all 2-5-1s or all minor chords. Right? Right, however you want to. So practice these little Lego blocks over all chords. So he uses this nice chromatic approach. He uses the same line he did in the previous element, right? But he uses a different approach. So before he went like this with a half step below. Now he uses a different approach, right? So again, he's creating his own freedom through these approaches. I mean, this is just a perfect example of how he's using these building blocks to create his own freedom and self-expression. Now, over the D minor to G7, we have... Now, this is a little bit, you know, out of the realm. So, this A flat here, again, you can relate this back to the other approach that he used in the beginning of his solo, basically on bar 5 when he started on the A flat, the flat 9 of the G7 chord. Right? Now, essentially, here he has... So it's similar, right? Because he's using the flat 9, but instead of going to the directly to the F sharp and then to the G, he has a delay. So he goes to the F first and then walks up chromatically to the G. So he still gets to the G, but he's going there in a different way. So he starts on the D, right? So again, he's probably thinking G at this point. He's not thinking D minor. He's thinking of leading the G7 into the C minor. So he's not thinking, okay, I got to solo over the D minor. And then solo over the G7, then into the C minor. And the advantages of this are that he can simplify his thought process. And eventually, when you get to a certain point, you're not really thinking. But as you're practicing, you want to be conscious of what you're thinking while you're soloing, right? When you're playing, you just want it to come out naturally. But in order to get better, you do want to be conscious, right? What am I thinking as I'm playing? And there's two different ways to practice. I mean, you can practice by... trying to not be conscious while you're playing, and then you can practice to try and be conscious of what you're thinking while you're playing. I recommend both, actually. But again, as you're practicing, you can think of just about the 5 chord, go to the flat 9, walk up chromatically to the root, and then he has an approach to the 3rd of the C minor. Again, you can practice just this approach to all your... right? To all in all your different keys, which I'd recommend. So... And then he just finishes off with a B flat, kind of, again, major-y, blues-ous, right, lick there. So let me go through it again. I'll go through it slowly. I'll play the whole thing slowly. So now that we've kind of talked about it and moved through it, you can kind of see what he's doing. Okay? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. So that is the solo, and again, the thing you want to take away from this is look and analyze all the different movements. I mean, there's small building blocks, there's essentially larger building blocks you can use to analyze. Take the movements. The movements is what you want to practice in all keys. Now, even if it's just a movement like using a half step below to start your line and move up the mode, like in measure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right, in measure 6. Just that alone is a connection, right, is a connection that when you master that and practice it in all keys, it can be used in so many different ways. It's a doorway. You need to think about these small little building blocks as doorways, as Legos, again, to build your freedom while improvising, right? So when you learn transcriptions, think about the movements that they're doing, not just not just looking at the solo and practicing as a whole. You don't want to just practice solos like for the heck of it to get it under your fingers. That's not going to do anything. It's not going to teach you freedom, right? On how to learn and improve at jazz piano to play your own solos, right? So practice these movements. Maybe then just practice the Mixolydian line that he has coming down. And again, don't think about it as a lick, right? Think about it as the 9-7. Right? You can think about the 6 or and then going to the 5. I would take that building block, right? Think 9-7-6-5. Go to a different key. 9-7-6-5, right? Right? And do it in all keys, okay? And that way you have this little Lego building block that you can use and start to use as a connection to start putting other Legos into it and then building your soul. And that creates true freedom in your ability to kind of ascend over just the copy play jazz piano style that I think a lot of education uses. Okay. So in the next section, we're going to continue the next podcast. Rather, we're going to continue with this Benny Green solo. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you want to go get the transcription, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast90. And I'll talk to you in the next episode. Happy practicing.